On air, online, on now.
Chill Lover Radio, you on air.
Chill Lover Radio, what's going on?
What's going on, man? Chill Lover Radio listeners, we have with us this evening, would you please welcome two legendary hip-hop icons, Blase Martell from the former group Blase Blase, known from the 1996 single Danger, a.k.a. When the East is in the House, which is a golden era classic. Oh, my God. We also have this evening Al Scratch from the group Ill Al Scratch, known for the 1994 hip-hop hits Where My Homies and I'll Take Her, featuring Brian McKnight. The two hip-hop artists, Blase Martell and Al Scratch, both were label mates. Signed with Mercury Records.
What's going on, man? What's going on?
Man,
this is stop right here, man.
That's right, man. Hey, they now have a group, man. It's G.O.B. We loving it. Get on board. Welcome, fellas. How y'all doing,
board.
Man? Get on board.
Guards of Brooklyn. We fantastic, man. We appreciate, first of all, we want to thank you for having us, you know what I'm saying, touch the airwaves, man, and bless the people with our presence, man. We thank you for that, first off, before we get started.
No doubt, man. No doubt.
Right.
So, I want to start with some history, man. We got to let them know the history of how all these.
Let's go back.
You
want to take them back?
Let's take them back, man. Let's take them back. Now, Blase.
For real. Let's go.
Blase, you with me, brother?
I'm with you, man. I'm with you all the way.
Let's start off with you. I'm a pretty much tag team, but let's start off with you. I understand. You started out your career touring with the Notorious B.I.G. and DJ 50.
Yes, sir.
Mr. C was the manager, right?
Mr. C, yeah. Mr. C was the manager. Yeah, he was the executive producer for Biggie Smalls.
Yeah.
But he was actually the first one that got his hands on Biggie Smalls' demo tape.
Oh, man. Wow. Man.
Yeah, so Mr. C, he was managing. Yeah, he was managing me and Biggie Smalls. I'm sorry, but he was, you know, he was like, it was my boy that was actually shopping my demo, trying to get me into the industry.
Okay.
So I was like watching him do his thing as he was doing a lot of performances with Big Daddy Kane, Juice Crew, more of the Juice Crew thing. He was doing a lot of work with the Juice Crew and a lot of DJ performances at the time. I think Kane was out of the picture at the time, Big Daddy Kane. It's more like after Big Daddy Kane's career, Mr. C just doing the whole Juice Crew, doing a lot of work for Juice Crew, doing a lot of projects and DJing. So he got his hands on Biggie Smalls' demo tape, man, like just popped in his lap. Somebody brought him the demo tape. And I remember listening to it with Mr. C, and he was just like, yo, this kid is dope. You know what I mean? And Biggie Smalls passed the demo on to the Source magazine. And the Source magazine put it in Unsigned Hype, I think it was called. And the rest is history.
Wow. That's magical, man. That's dang, man. I mean, how did that make you feel? Just, did you even know that all of this was going to come about? Notorious B.I.G.
I had no idea, man. It was just all about being a part of it and just trying to be the best you can be. Even going on tour, man, like going down south with Biggie Smalls. Mm-hmm. It was just like, I had to get my mother's van, actually.
Oh, wow.
Like, my mother had a van. I had to borrow her van.
It happened, right?
Yeah, borrow her van and just like, yo, we going to go on the road. So we all got up in the van and we just hit the south. We hit the Carolinas and working Biggie Smalls' project. So it was about me paying my dues, man, doing the ad-libs on stage with Biggie Smalls, still working in the studio and stuff like that. I've been working in the studio since I was like 13.
Wow. You was known as MC Outloud, right?
Yeah, working in the studios, you know, just trying to come up with some hot music, man. Hitting the road with Biggie Smalls, man, it was amazing. Biggie Smalls was like the funniest dude in the world. He actually could have led a life as a comedian.
Oh, wow.
You know, I'm competing with Harris and all of them, man. He was a real funny guy.
He
made the road trips, the touring, real interesting.
Oh, man. Let me ask, being in the studio with Biggie and Easy Mo B, shout out to Easy Mo B, man. That's my boy.
Word.
Al, I know you work with Easy Mo B as well. What was the energy like in the studio seeing Biggie, Easy Mo B, and how they worked? How was that energy, man?
I mean, it was strategic. It was definitely specific and detailed to what they was trying to get accomplished. I mean, Mo and Big already had that relationship going for some time, so it was just like, I think it was just an automatic thing to where they knew each other's vibes. And it wasn't nothing really that was like programmed. It was just natural.
Yeah. I know, I was at the beginning of that relationship with Biggie. When Biggie Mac movie, you know what I mean? And Biggie was, he always felt that he would make the best album if he did a whole album with Mo B. That was his whole thing. He wanted to do a full album with Mo B.
Oh, wow.
He kind of wanted Mo B to be his DJ.
Wow.
And for them to be a group. Puff never let that happen, but Puff just, he worked with Easy Mo B. You know, Big was like, I think his thing was Mo B got beat. You know, he really loved to work with Mo B.
And you can kind of tell that too, man. That was the thing, man. I mean, you could see that. You could really see that, man. Well, let me ask y'all this. How did it help you? How did it help mold you as an artist on up to today, seeing all of that?
Seeing it, just being, I mean, when you're in it, it's not really like you're seeing it. It's just like you're a part of it. It was just like being in high school, just going through the motions with your classmates. You know, y'all all working towards a common goal, you know what I'm saying, which is to get through the situations of where we came from, which was the streets, and to try to elevate and get further in life. So just being around people who, you know, was talented and gifted, just me speaking personally, it let me know that whatever I was on that right path. I was doing something right, basically. You know what I'm saying? Because I was aligning myself with those who were being successful at the same craft that I was working at.
Oh, man, me, it helped me tremendously right now. You know what we're doing?
Yes.
It gives the confidence. It's just like living life from rewind. And it feels like I'm doing everything over again, but I'm doing it with, I've done it already. And so it's great confidence going to the studio, knowing that you can get, knowing where you're going because you've been there.
Right. Just to give you an example, brother, real quick, we in the studio right now, right? And basically, Blind myself, we looking for a certain sound. You know what that sound is. Your listeners probably know what that sound is.
Oh,
as
well. Yeah.
We shopping around, and we, like what you just said, going through what we went through, we found a location, and there's not many left. I think the guy said it was only 7 left on the East Coast.
That's that soundboard.
Right, you know, for this certain type of sound that we know we can get just being professionals, and we found it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So that, just that experience allows us to know, like, what we want to get is very specific. We're not going to settle for just the fad, put it together, whatever type of way people are doing it today. It's cool, it sounds good, but to get the specific sound we want, it's an exclusive club. It's an elite club that you really have to be in order to know where you need to work in order to extract that sound, that connectivity and the vibration of what we want to put out there on the frequency level where we want to do it. You know?
Exactly. Now, Blase, I understand the record labels, man, I got to bring this up, had a bid war over you, Blase Blase, and you decided to sign with Mercury Records, like you and P.F. Cutting. What or who inspired you guys to sign with Mercury Records? I think I know the answer to this, but I want the listeners to hear this.
I don't know, man. I don't know what I was smoking.
Oh, man.
I look back and I'm like, yo, man, I remember, you know, Def Jam trying to sign us. I remember Chris Lighty, like, yo, what are you doing? I remember, you know, going to Chris Lighty's office, man, and Chris Lighty, like, yo, Mr. C, out of here. Don't use Mr. C, you know what I'm saying? Yo, listen, come with me. You know, he used to show me, you know, like, all his material possessions. And it's like, yo, you know, you have to mess with me. It's like, it's a no-brainer. My lawyer, Micheline Levine, used to tell me also, yo, we have to change this up. I ended up signing with Mercury. Mr. C started working for Mercury Records.
Oh, wow.
But I think I just really didn't have that father group or mother group, should I say, ushered me in. Everything was like myself. And I didn't really have a group with that much experience in music. Like, you see a lot of other groups back in that era. You had the J-Rooter Damager brought in by Gangstar.
Uh-huh.
You know, you had the Redman that was brought in by EPMD. I didn't really have that mother group to bring me in with that experience. So it was kind of like me being so excited with the shiny office. And I think that really won the day. You know, that's how the stories get created in my book. I think that's what really did it. Outside of even the money, it was just the shiny building.
Wow.
It was the view.
It was like, you know, you take me to, like, you on top of Manhattan with the shiny, in a shiny building.
Yeah,
I think that's what did it, man.
But let me ask you, how did you and I left this out. How did you and P.F. Cutting hooked up, man? How did y'all form the group Blase Blase? I don't think they know about that either.
Well, you know, P.F. is a DJ from around my way. He's like one of the hottest DJs from coming out of East New York. And we had another name, which was, I was just going by Out Loud for Blase Blase. Like, if you're online, you'll see works, you know, by Out Loud. online. So when we did the Mercury thing, the Blase, it was such a new thing that I couldn't really get a grasp of it. So that's why you'll hear me out loud, because it was just so new. Blase was just like a song. As soon as we got the deal, I was like, yo, I want to do, you know, Blase, because I didn't want to make, but Allah was like the first name I ever had as a rapper. So I was saying, I was evolving then, but I wasn't able to fully evolve it with the one album on Mercury. That's why even on the record, you never even heard me say out loud on no record, on no song on that record, on that album, because it was just the conversion was going on and everything was happening at once. I wanted to make sure that we didn't focus on the name, we focused on the energy.
Yeah.
And the vibration, that didn't have a name. Energy doesn't have a name.
That's
you know, and that was like in the midst of everybody was trying to hype their name up. Everybody was really into the name, and I kind of wanted to go different, get out of that box, and go against the grain.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what was the Blase.
I know when Blase came out with the Danger track, it was made to represent East New York, if I'm correct. But I know the media took it and pushed it and used it as East versus West, if you will, track.
That's what was so crazy.
You know,
I was banging on rappers in New York.
Yeah. So I didn't get that.
I was banging on rappers in New York. Yeah.
Did that take you by surprise knowing that the media turned it into something that was like negative toward the West Coast?
Right. Definitely. You know, it was like a vacuum that I got pulled in. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And it was just like, it was that was going on that I really didn't have too much knowledge on. Just being wet behind the ears coming into the industry. Like, I didn't know about a lot of stuff that was going on. But you know what was so interesting is, not only he became a representative of East Coast, he became a representative of every East, everywhere.
Yeah, yes.
You know, even in small towns, it's like, it became like, they were just like, yo, the East, we the East Side.
Yeah.
And we bang it against the West Side or everywhere. So every geographic form or every geographic place, you know, map, it was those two paradigms, the East versus the West. And the East took that at the end. You know, I used to go to South Carolina and it'd be like, yo, the East Side of South Carolina, East Side of Florence, South Carolina.
Yeah. Yeah.
Everywhere was just like, yo, we're gonna ride on them. The East is in the house.
Yeah.
Yo, they like, yo, you made that song for us, right?
Yeah.
You made that for us.
The East Side of every town.
Yeah, the East Side of every town was like, yo, you made that for us. I was like, yo, let's go. Let's do what we gotta do.
Yeah, that track was slamming, man. I'm telling you. In the video, oh man, y'all had a lot of MCs in the video, man. Y'all Fat Joe, J. Rooter Damager,
right.
Gangsta, DJ Premier, Master Ace, man. Hey, how hard was that to get all those guys together and film that video?
That was crazy. You know, actually what was going on is, like, I was on this, like, same thing. Like, I'm surprised Big wasn't in it in Old Dirty.
Yeah.
Because I was really, like, trying to get on. So I was, like, everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was everywhere. I had a relationship with Gangsta, with Premier. You know, those were, like, one of the best friends of mine at the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Guru. You know, me and Guru used to just, like, we was running together. That was my running partner. Yeah, Guru, you know, rest in peace, Guru. That was my running partner. What we was doing at the time, we was going to clubs, man. And we was just hanging out in clubs, coming out of the clubs, sleeping in our car.
Mm.
Like, can't even make it home. Just, like, sleeping in the car, man. And that was the scene, you know. And I was, like, Guru and Premier was living together at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to go to their crib. They used to call it the group home.
Group
and I used to go to their group home and just, like, stay there. If we could make it there, if we didn't, me and Guru just sleep in the car.
Wow.
And go to the next club, right?
Straight up. And it was just, that was just on repeat. So, I mean, they definitely going to be in the video. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, it wasn't really as hard as you think, because we was rolling, man. We was rolling. We was a tight unit.
Wow. So, man, knowing that
you know what I'm saying?
Knowing that you paved the way for so many other artists, with certain artists using Blase, and even today's music, all the shout-outs from past hip-hop groups like the Fugees, Queen Latifah, would you have ever thought that you would have that much of an impact on hip-hop, even artists of the day's music? Would you ever thought that you had that impact?
Nah, never had that vision. Only real long-term vision that I had that back in the midnight I was putting together was, I knew that I wanted to stop and I wanted to get back to it later. I had that vision and that's what I said. I was just like, I wasn't going to subject myself to what the record companies was doing at the time. And I was like, I'm going to stop. And I didn't really know how the pieces would come together. I really didn't know it. I didn't know that I would get what I was scratch. I didn't know that things would take the level that it's taking now. But I really knew that I'm going to stop and I'm going to get back. I'm going to get it popping.
Wow.
It was like a subconscious thing. It's like, that was the vision. It was like, all right, okay, cool. I'm going to chill. But we're going to come back to this.
So glad y'all.
And then I look back and I'm like, wow, things, you know, look how things fell back into pieces. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Fell back into place. Like, you know, that was the vision that I really had. You know what I'm saying? So it is amazing to sit back and to like have an overview of everything, you know what I mean? And seeing back and knowing your thoughts back then and seeing what happened now and seeing what's going down right now in 2018 is amazing.
Glad you guys are back, man. I checked out the website and I noticed you got your merchandise and your clothing line. Make sure y'all check out everythingblase.com, man. Ben, and what inspired you to start that? How long has that been up? Can we explain more?
I just got it back going just recently. I've been inspired. It's something I always wanted to do. And everywhere I'm going, people always ask me for merchandise. And I was kind of thinking to have an artist, me and Al Scratch, that's really been past the test of time. You need a brand and you need items that can really signify that. It's like, yo, this represents something. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
This ain't something that just was made up. This is, when you're wearing a Blase Blase shirt, you're wearing something that's been here when through everything.
Told you.
It's been here through everything. You know what I'm saying? If you're talking about Biggie Smalls and Tupac, you're talking about Blase Blase. If you're talking about anything that's significant to hip-hop,
yes.
You know, you're talking about Blase Blase, Blase Blase. Yeah, you're talking about Gangstar, you're talking about Blase Blase.
Yeah.
Even if you're talking about Juice Crew, you're talking about Blase Blase because I was there with Juice Crew. I done production with Master Ace. A lot of this stuff that they was doing, you know, from Mr. C, I was there and talking about Blase Blase. So I felt I really needed to let people put that on and be a part of that.
Yes.
And, you know, one of the main things, I was really inspired by Al Scratch, too. Al Scratch is a guy, you know, every time you see him, he's going to have his own clothing on.
Yeah, I noticed that with Al, too.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I was like, you know, I definitely wanted to let people be a part of that and they can wear it and they can, you know, be a part of the Blase Blase experience.
Beautiful, man. We definitely look for more of that to come in the future.
Word, for real.
Now, Al, you with me?
Yeah. I'm with you, my brother. We over here, chief.
We gonna get it. Let's get into your history as well. Could you get a listener some history on how you started working with Ill, developing Ill Al Scratch Duo? How did that come about, man? I'm curious.
That came about just being in the studio, having the same producer, which is LG, the LG Experience, who is actually Mopey's brother. You know, and my man Ill was working on, he was putting a demo together. He had just got written up in the Source, but Source had this column called Unsigned Hype.
Oh, wow. Yeah,
They had a thing called Unsigned Hype. So he was getting some traction on that and was putting together a demo in the same studio we was working at. And LG had asked me if I wanted to participate because we had played a couple of my joints for Ill. And Ill liked the energy I had, how my voice sounded. So I said, yeah. So we did a demo for him called Creep With Me, which is the title of the Ill Out Scratch album, ultimately. But that was actually a song that was on Ill's demo. And it just so happens that I was actually in a group that had already had a deal with the major label, but due to some unforeseen circumstances with the partner I was with at the time, you know, like a lot of brothers during that era got taken, you know, into custody due to some
got locked up.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Got locked up though. But you know, money was on the tape and the demo Creep With Me was presented and the label, they liked the way me and Ill sounded together and asked us to do a remix to that Creep With Me joint, and the remix was called Where My Homies, which was the song that was the first single release from the Ill Out Scratch project. But that's basically in a nutshell how me and Ill got together and started up, just vibing in the studio, kicking it, you know what I'm saying, appreciating each other's gifts and talents and just working towards something.
And that's one of the tracks I love, man, Where My Homies. The thing I love about this track is it was pushing unity, especially when you guys recite a little something for the East and the West in your lyrics, you know what I'm saying? So when that song was made, that track pushed a lot of positive energy into hip-hop era at that time. What made you guys decide to create Where My Homies? What sparked that? I always wanted to know.
What sparked Where My Homies? My Homies was actually sparked by a spark of the L. You know what I mean? So when you in the studio and you just vibing and you sparking the L's up, you vibing to the samples and the beats being played.
Uh-huh.
That was actually, real talk, that was a part of the 16-bar verse that I was writing. But back then, producers were more involved with artists in regards to the construction of a song. So you couldn't just come in there and say, these are my verses and this is the song and this is it. I'm the artist and this is it. Everybody had a hand in developing the song. So when he heard the Where My Homies part in the rhyme, LG wanted to extract that and said, yo, nah, listen, that is actually the hook. That's the hook of the song. So
since we knew that that was going to be the premise of the song, what we did is we went back and we rewrote it and based it on the fact that Ill was from Brooklyn, I was uptown, and we bridged the gap between Brooklyn and uptown to try to say, like, look, even though historically Brooklyn and uptown is known for maybe not getting along, Manhattan keep on making it, Brooklyn keep on taking it, we wanted to bring a different energy in regards to just the boroughs.
Yeah.
And then we expanded on that and made it a coastal thing as well by saying, where my homies come around my way, come check out how I'm living, come vibe with me and see, you know, what we're doing, because it's basically the same thing from hood to hood, city to city. We all live in the same way, no matter what state, city, town, or borough you in. You know what I'm saying? If you coming from the hood in the ghetto where we was from, y'all know what we talking about. So that's where my homies really got his birth from. Just trying to connect with people who was going through the same things that we was going through in our different hoods.
I got to ask you too, man, on the video, right? Who came up with the Punisher image on the outfits, man? That was dope.
Oh, man, that was ill, man. That was ill.
Oh, man.
That was all ill with this designer who definitely was using strictly leather pieces. Because we rode bikes. We was on a motorcycle tip. So bikers, they usually like to really rock leather, unique leathers. So, you know, the Punisher was a character that we knew a lot of people would identify with, and it was mean. So the way it came across visually on the screen was, I think, impactful. And even till today, like yourself, a lot of people still ask about that. But that was definitely a concept that Ill came up with one of the designers for our clothes at the time.
Wow, man. Another track, man, I love, man. I got to ask you, how did you guys hook up with Brian McKnight to make the track I'll Take Her? How did that come about?
Man, that was the call that was made by the label. Mm-hmm. In regards to a song that we had did where LG had a concept for kind of like, not really like a love song, but a song that's for the females. You know, since we did something for the homies, he wanted to make sure that we didn't leave out that market of the female aspect of hip hop. Because during that time, in a lot of instances, it was hard, it was edgy, it was raw, it was gritty. But he said, yo, listen, man, why don't we also keep in mind that there's a female market out there that we could cater to?
Yeah.
You know, and that's where that concept came up, because he sampled the EPMD sample from that song James, where E and Parrish was talking about hooking up with some girls, and he was describing the girl to his partner that he wanted them to hook up with, and he was like, you know, she's fly, haircut like Anita Baker, looked up and down, said, I'll take her. So we flipped that, and since Brian was on the label, that was an executive call that was made by the A&R at the time to maybe get Brian on there and do something smooth to really smooth it out, since it was a nice, smooth sample by my brother Curtis Mayfield. And that's how we initiated that. Brian flew in from California, actually got involved with the video, so the visual to the song also, I think, helped and assisted in making that a successful second single release. You know, that put us on that Billboard chart, the R&B chart, the urban chart. So I think it was very impactful having Brian participate with us on that single.
You guys, I understand y'all was looked as players with a smooth image that you portrayed. Especially with the I'll Take a track. But I know that wasn't exactly the plan to actually come out pushing that image. Was that how I did sell people looking at you guys as players?
No, because, I mean, in all honesty, you said that's not something that we was trying to project. I think that kind of like during the time, the way hip-hop was evolving and changing, I think that was just something that we was placed in that basket because of the overall growth and maturity that hip-hop was going through at that time and at that stage. But just moving around and being in certain circles, associating with certain players and ballers, I think that's what kind of like put us in that realm as well, because just being visually portrayed as a player in the video, I don't think we came across that way. I think we came across more as the type to where, like, look, if you don't treat your female right, either myself or another brother, like any brother can take your female if you. So we were trying to get that message more across in regards to, you know, like just men stepping up to the plate. Because, you know, as men, black men especially, sometimes they have a hard time committing. You know, that's not a secret. So we thought, why not push that out there, push that forward? That's something that put us in a position to where a lot of older females appreciated the fact that we brought that to the forefront, being young rappers. A lot of the older guys took that as, wow, you know what, y'all brothers is giving us a message. You know, it's a smooth song, the message, we accept that, because you know what? Men should be accepting their responsibilities, whether it's with a female or whether it's being a father to your child and just making that family circle much tighter. That's something that we need in the culture and also in the community.
Exactly. Now, you guys were featured on the New Jersey soundtrack with the track Don't Shut Down on a Player. That was perfect for that movie. Did you guys get a chance to see a sneak peek of the movie and have something to just write lyrics on for that track? Like, how did you guys develop the lyrics for Don't Shut Down on a Player?
Well, we didn't get a chance to see a sneak peek of the movie, but the Panther, you know, if anybody knows the history about the Black Panther Party and the points that they wanted to have executed and accepted, you already know where the song was going, especially since Mo B producing it, and he's telling you, like, the title of the song is called The Points. So based off of that alone, you can already surmise the fact that, all right, we got to come in on this on a militant, kind of like pushing forth a revolutionary vibe on it. That's how we attack. Not to mention being in the studio with maybe 20 other artists at the top of their game, that's going to put you in a position to where you know you gotta bring it. You know, you're gonna bring it anyway, but then when you have your circle of peers around you, you know you gotta get to that point of elevation to where you know you wanna be on this record, you gotta make it happen. That's all we did with that.
Man, now I gotta ask you, man, I was on your Instagram page and I heard the Boot Up remix with your blessings on, your vocals on it, man. You spitting. That remix is serious, man. Is that an official remix? Boot Up, LMA?
That's not an official remix, but that's an official Al Scratch remix.
Man.
You know, what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna send that to you, my brother. I'm gonna send you the whole joint, man, and let you world premiere.
I gotta have it.
We play that for your listeners, because we exiting the summertime and we going into that period of the year where they call it cuffing season.
Yeah.
So this is, for me, it's kind of like a part two of our Taker. So I thought it was only appropriate that I bless that song, since it is a great song. And I know a lot of brothers and rappers have put their 16 bars on it. But I went ahead and I chopped it and diced it up and made it a full-length remix. And I'm going to send that to you. You got my word to you. So,
man, I appreciate that.
So you can
that.
Play that, man. And I would love to hear the response back from the people if they like it or not.
Oh, most definitely. I'm going to play the hell out of that. Y'all got to hear that, man. So I was on your website, man, you got your own clothing line as well, you know. Will we see more of that? What type of merchandise are we going to see in the future, if you could reveal that?
Oh, yeah, definitely. OwlScratch.com. Right now, we're doing some reconstruction on the site, but we're going to have, of course, the T-shirts that I want to thank everybody for supporting me on the T-shirts. We're going to have hats, different things, towels, sweatshirts, hoodies, a whole variety of different things that you'll be able to purchase on OwlScratch.com. And just stay tuned for that, man, because I know that, like Bly was telling you, people want to be able to feel something and hold on to something that has meaning to them. So we're actually honored to be in a position to where we can be businessmen at the same time and push forth merchandise where, you know, the people can get some quality clothing and other items that they can hold on to in a physical form. Because right now, it's kind of like, you know, to get the music, they down what they call stream the music. They don't even really get the physical record or vinyls like how they used to be able to do back in the day. So to be able to provide people with merchandise, that's a blessing, man. So thank you for even bringing that up and mentioning
that. No doubt, man. So I'm going to get into GOB. Get on board, man. Let's talk about Get On Board. GOB is more than just a hip-hop group. It's a movement about traveling the world, meeting new people, and spreading positive energy and good vibes with music. What inspired you guys to decide to form GOB and push this movement? What influenced that?
Well, you know, Blase and myself, we actually were on the same record label. So a lot of the things that Bly was going through, I was going through as well. So when we decided to formulate GOB, it was out of the fact that we had a mutual respect for each other, first off. And like Bly had mentioned, he knew in his mind that he was getting back to what he wanted to do. You know what I'm saying? But the energy, the frequency, the vibe had to be right, because I know at any time, just like him, I could have jumped back in, but it had to be right. And the GOB thing is more getting on board, like you said, the movement to where we want to connect with the people and have the people understand that there's a higher level of enlightenment when it comes to the music in regards to what we
3 and 4.
Now, both of y'all, are you on your own label or are you guys signed with another label right now with GOB?
No. We independent right now.
Oh, that's beautiful, man. That is, oh, man. And the track you got out, man, called Sun Rockin', which is a dope track. I want to ask you, you mind if we get into that track and just let the listeners check it out? I mean, this track's slamming, man.
Track, that's what you're going to get on board to, you know what I mean? That's what we tell them, that's the frequency me, Al is on.
Oh,
so
man.
That frequency is about the new understanding. Everything is based around the sun. And I mean, me personally, I'm kind of like, I'm a weirdo with that. You know what I mean? I think the sun is like, for me, doing a lot of study in ancient times, sun is what they worship.
Yeah.
You know, the sun was their god. You know what I mean? The sun gives so much. And we kind of got taken away from that. But sun, if you look at all the ancient pictures, the sun is, they have a sun. You know, the halo in their head was the sun. That's what that represented. And all the pictures had the sun somewhere in the picture. So we definitely wanted to, like, kind of bring that out there and get that conversation started. We kind of got it going in the middle of the summertime. We kind of ran out of summer. But, you know, that's something that we definitely continue to talk about with Sun Rock, getting in the sun. You know, especially here in New York City, man, we don't get enough sun. We need to talk about getting sun, eat the sun. You know what I'm saying? Get much sun you can get, man. It's very important.
Welcome back.
Oh man, that track slamming, man. Oh, it's got that bounce to it, man. I tell you, we back, man, with GOB.
GOB,
slamming
track. Sun Rockin', you was just in tune to that new Sun Rockin' GOB, a future classic. GOB, huh?
Now you guys, y'all have a chance to perform this track at the Video Music Box Anniversary Show, right? Back in August.
Oh yeah, that was crazy.
Man, how was the vibe? Yeah. Tell me about the vibe and the energy of that show, man. How did they, I know they was bouncing, man. I know they was rocking it out.
They was loving it, man. It's beautiful when you in your hometown and you release new music and it's accepted like that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So the respect was mutual. I know they want to hear more of it.
Check this out, man. It was so crazy. We on there with everybody. KRS-One, Fat Joe.
Large Professor.
Wow.
Special Ed. Meek the Exotic.
You know, you got all
the Hustle Trigger.
You got all these classic artists that's on stage. And we, like, the only one that formed a new song. We performed Sun Rockin'.
Wow.
You know, that people never heard of.
Brand new exclusive song.
And, yo, they was loving it. They was feeling it because it was a connection to the, it had a connection to the past that was still there. And it went along with everything.
Mm.
Yes.
Man.
So right then, we knew that, you know, this was the right thing. It was new. It was new energy.
Mm.
But sound and had everything, had all the ingredients of the past.
Wow. Have you guys shot the video for it yet? When can we expect that?
Yeah.
We shot
the vid. We just ran out of summer.
Mm.
We were just looking for ways to bring the video out, mark the video. Because, you know, it gets cold in New York.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how to, like, show my shorts. Me with my shorts on in the summertime, sitting down on the beach with all the ladies.
Mm-hmm.
Snack in the wintertime in New York.
Yeah.
We might have to travel somewhere where it's summertime all year round.
Yeah.
And release it over there and then come back to the States. That's what we might have to do.
Yeah. I mean, that would be lovely, man. So, you guys, man, y'all gel so well together. I want to could you paint a picture for the listeners? What's the typical day and or night? Y'all in the studio right now, right? So,
yes.
What's the vibe? What's the typical day or night in the studio? Like, do you guys come up with the material in the studio, or do y'all go out and have a drink or something, like enjoy life, they come up with your lyrics? How do you come up with your lyrics, or what's the energy in the studio for you guys?
When we in the studio, we execute it, you know what I'm saying? It's for us, I mean, we having fun, but when we come to the studio, we strictly business. We know exactly what the plan is, we know exactly what we want to do, so all of that stuff is done prior to us getting to the studio, so that way we're not wasting any time. But a typical day with the GOB, Blase and Al Scratch, we build it. We formulating plans and structures to elevate. You know what I'm saying? We coming up with ways to actually conduct business and expand the empire, so that way we can get more people on board and have them understand what the movement is really about. So it's constant communication and talking about what we want to actually do and execute. You know, like, I was just building with Bly the other day, I can't mention it, but it was a business opportunity to where me and him was building.
Mm-hmm.
And as opposed to saying, oh yeah, well, let's call the guy later or tomorrow, no, he got the guy on the phone immediately, and we spoke to the guy, we ran numbers, we crunched numbers, we spoke some stuff, and now
us in motion. So it's no better time than the press. That's what GOB is about, getting it now. You know what I'm saying? Getting it right now.
Word. And, you know, adding along with that, man, you know, staying fresh to death, man. You know, all day long I talk about plant life, talk about eating proper food, you know what I'm saying, building with people around us, trying to really raise the community up. I think that me as a rapper, as an MC, my job is to build my community, represent my community. You know what I'm saying? And that's what I'm always trying to do. So I'm always like building and talking about what's the proper food to eat, talking about the way they're changing our food. You know what I mean? That they're giving us genetically modified food.
Yeah.
And, you know, trying to like always getting that conversation going. Like, oh, don't eat those bananas in the hood. Don't eat those bananas. They ain't got no seeds in it. But people be like, oh, I ain't know bananas had seeds. Like, yeah, yo, bananas got seeds. You got to eat the ones with the seeds. So if you look at the banana that you're eating, you see the seed print, but you won't see no seed in it. You know what I mean? Yeah. And it's like, yo, why all these bananas? We don't even think about that. But you have bananas that have seeds, the burro bananas that have seeds. So, you know, just bringing that to my community and telling them, yo, get the small bananas with the seeds in it. And people are like, oh, I didn't even know. You know, so a lot of that, vibing off that, and then coming with the music charged from the alkaline from eating those bananas. Yeah. You know, eating the proper food, the fruits with the seeds in it. We be like really charged up. We go to the studio, kick our shoes off at the door, try to get it real wholesome, you know what I'm saying? And we vibe out, you know what I'm saying? We in the studio, you know what I mean? And just kind of create our own worlds.
I understand you guys are also vegan, right? Since we on the food thing. No, I say you guys, I see y'all are vegans as well.
Yeah. Well, I mostly, I don't like to use names. You know what I'm saying? Like vegan or vegetarian. I mostly say like I eat a plant-based diet.
Oh, okay. I understand. I see.
You know, because sometimes you have vegans that, you have a lot of vegans that's unhealthy. You know, they just don't eat meat, but they will eat every other trash or whatever that's out there. You know what I'm saying? But so I like to just eat like a plant-based diet. A lot of greens, a lot of stuff that just come from the earth, man. A lot of fruits and tons of water. You know, things that's on the earth and out the dirt and pulling it out the dirt.
Man, how was the transition, I mean, for that? Like, was that hard to actually be able to transition from like just eating what you normally would eat to what you're eating now? Was that transition hard?
I mean, it was hard, but I kind of got the right information, and I did it in stages. You know, so at first it was just a vegetarian. No, I first started off with just on the weekend. I would go the whole week vegetarian, and then on the weekend I would eat some meat or some fish. Then I went like that. Then one day I would decide to juice. I said, let me just juice this month to see if I can do it. And it was just about breaking, because it was more than just becoming a vegan, just to be a vegan. I wanted to kind of break spell the mindset that I was in of food, the way I thought about food. And once I learned the importance of food, I wanted to break the way I was taught to eat it. So, you know, that kind of inspired breaking mental spell that I was under on thinking like protein. Once I thought protein was only gotten through meat. So once I understood that we can go where the animals get their protein from, I was getting tight and I was ready and I was like inspired. I'm like, yo, nah, I'm gonna go where they get it from. I don't need a middleman. So, you know, I was like, oh, man, I must be a spell then. So when I was doing it, I was like, oh, okay, I still feel strong. I got plant protein. I still feel strong. You know, I'm getting stronger. Then I was like, oh, man, I got to go all in, because that means I was under a spell. I was like, what I was believing wasn't true. It wasn't real.
Wow. I never even thought about
that. So I had to. Yeah. Wow. So I was like, yo, let me go through that. And let me, I'm getting stronger. Then it started to make sense. I'm like, yo, the biggest animals on the planet, wherever you go, the biggest animals are herbivores. They don't eat meat. So I was like, how? Then it started making sense. Because then I was getting tight. I'm like, yo, I'm going all in. How are you going to have biggest animals, the hippos, the elephant, big, the rhinoceros, the gorillas, the strongest animals in the world, everywhere you go, not eating meat? So I was just like, that's me.
Wow.
So it had to be the training of the mindset of the spell that I was put under to not see that, because I never seen it. So I learned, I was like, yo, you know, just like the music business, major corporations have everybody under the spell, and the meat companies have everybody under the spell, thinking that protein only sources through meat. But, and it didn't make any sense to me anymore. And it's like, I'm done changing. Then when I did it, thought at first I was going to feel like I'm missing out or feel deprived, but then I wasn't deprived. And I was like, yo, this is what it is. Let me bring this to the hood. Let me let the hood know. Then I was able to see, like, also, like, people like Prodigy deal with his disease that he had, you know what I mean, through vegetation. So then I knew that it was just something special going on, and my people wasn't getting the information.
Wow, man. And that had a creativity on your music as well, and your life as well, too. I know. It's like, man.
Yeah.
This is
worse. It was just mostly like, if I'm an MC and I'm representing my people, why am I not representing this thing? Like, this is the most important thing that they need to know.
Makes sense.
And they need to know how to protect themselves from disease, self-preservation. They don't need to be just an upper echelon thing. My community needs to know. They need to know what it is, man. So that became real exciting. And that's when you came with the Sun Rocking. And it was just like bringing attention to talking about things that rappers wouldn't typically talk about.
Man, amazing. So let me ask you, what can we expect from GOB in the future? Could you give the listeners like a sneak preview, like the album, video, any future shows or upcoming events y'all have planned?
Well, they could definitely expect a lot more visual presence of the GOB, the entire movement. We got shows lined up here in New York, also outside of New York. We're going to be leaving outside of the country next month in October, doing a couple of spot dates over in Colombia. We set some things up over in Brazil, possibly making some stops back in Costa Rica and some other Central American locations, because the hip-hop culture is really taking off in these areas for some reason. And I think that when you're dealing with hip-hop and you're dealing with people that are in, let's say, I don't want to say third world conditions, but poverty, impoverished, it gives them energy. It gives them some powerful insight on how to raise themselves up to another level of existence. And I was actually just speaking to someone earlier in regards to how hip-hop was spawned out of revolution. This is the revolutionary music. I mean, nowadays it's to the point to where we can party and have fun, but initially when it started out in the parks, and it started out by the ghetto kids having an outlet to where they can be creative and express themselves artistically. Yeah. So just to tie back into what GOB is going to be doing in the future, we're going to be having a lot more videos, like I said, performances, and in fact, we're going to be moving around globally, moving around trying to spread the word to uplift and invite people to get on board, not only with us, but with what it is you want to do with your life. You get on board with yourself, get your plan going. We can start our own island. If people want to travel, come to it. Anybody can do that. You can do the same thing. You can create and initiate change and impact life on your particular location, wherever you may happen to be on this globe. The whole thing is to just get a plan, get on board, and think out of the box. Deprogram yourself from just being hypnotized by what's being given to you. There's things that you can do outside of the realm of what you think you're able to do. You can be anything. I mean, we're knocking down walls every day, crossing borders and barriers in many different forms of life. I mean, just in tennis, I forget the young lady's name who just beat Serena. You know what I'm saying?
Oh,
but
yeah.
That's just one example of how we are greater than how we may be able to see ourselves at the current time. And that's what GOB is about, just trying to open people's eyes and have them see that you can always be better and always improve on where you are in life.
Exactly. Well, fellas, man, I appreciate it. You taking out the time to come on Chill Lover Radio. Man, I'm telling you. Hey, y'all, check out alscratch.com.
EverythingBlase.com.
Mine went blank for a minute. EverythingBlase.com. Make sure y'all check them out. They on all the social media websites, Facebook. You got Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. I don't want to leave nothing out, fellas. If you want to chime in, get them your plugs on where they can keep up with you and follow you at.
Periscope, Facebook, Twitter, IG, Snapchat. Check us out everywhere, man. You know, DM us. You know, go on that IG. Hit us up, man. The whole thing with GOB, too, like I was saying, is we want to connect directly with the people. A lot of people been hitting us up saying, you know, I want to support you. I want to buy that Sun Rocking record. But right now, it's not something that we're selling. But you can definitely go on to our GOB SoundCloud page and listen to it all day. If you or you can hit us on the DM on IG, give us your info. You know what I'm saying? We'll definitely be in touch with you directly and show you love with that. Hand to hand. The movement is hand to hand. It's how we trying to move it. Like it's back on the block, on the corners. Like it's hand to hand transaction. Don't just download the music and say, I got it. Connect with us. You know, let us know who you are, what you feeling. Let us let you know who we are and what we doing next.
And just fair warning, when you listen to the Sun Rock, it's going to be in your head for at least a day or two, because it was in my head for a day or two. It sticks, man.
Yeah.
It really does sticks.
But hey, yo, we appreciate your support, man. We appreciate you playing that, man, letting your listeners get a taste of what's to come with the GOB, because we definitely got more in store.
Oh, man, we got to do it. No doubt. We got to do that, man. Yeah, appreciate it.
More in store. It's the beginning.
Yes.
This is the beginning of a new era. Yeah. I mean, we're going to have to find, we're going to have to title this whatever we're going to make this, but I don't know what we're going to name the era. I've been thinking about that for a few days, but it's the beginning of a new era. Sun Rockin' was the first shot representing that new era.
I'll tell you what, anything y'all have coming up, anything you want to promote, you more than welcome to come back to Chill Level Radio. We got you. We got you covered.
That's what's up.
Yeah, we got you covered.
Well, we have our lane set it up.
Yes. Yeah, definitely. Well, brothers, appreciate you. Matter of fact, you guys can remain on the line, man. Appreciate you rocking with me. We going to end the show. Chill Level Radio listeners, thank you for listening, man. We love you. Y'all have a blessed night. Have a progressive week. Peace.
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 That's right. Keep it locked right here where you got it. It's Chill Lover Radio.